Peter, behave yourself. Sit down. Good morning, everyone. Happy Easter.
He is risen.
Yes, that's the way to go. It's great to be in the house of the Lord on the Lord's Day, especially on this Resurrection Sunday. We worship the Lord, our risen Lord. Welcome.
Good morning and happy Easter. Here are your announcements for this morning. We want to thank everybody who donated to the food bank during the Lent period, and the food was delivered to the local area food banks and was graciously accepted. I'd also like to thank all of the people that were all volunteers for the mustard seed last week, and I must apologize to Michelle. I came in here delivering some of the mustard seed stuff last week and walked around. I must have been really quiet, but I scared the living daylights out of her. She didn't scream, but I thought we were in a safe place. So anyway, my apologies to Michelle for that. The beef supper is next week, and it's from 5 to 7:30. That's April 30th. The sign-up sheets are out, the bulletin board, and Wilma's looking for volunteers to set up, clean up, and some cooking, and she's particularly looking for people for, there's a need for desserts and salads. And this Tuesday is the official board meeting, and that goes at 7:30. And Dustin and Angela have given me an announcement here. There's going to be a youth ski group, youth group ski trip. And in brackets here, small print snowboarders will be permitted. And that's going to go on May the 7th. And they want to meet at the church at 7 a.m. and depart no later than 7:30. Volunteer drivers are going to be needed. And parents are encouraged to go skiing as well. And they're going to go to Sunshine Village. And the costs are based on the standard spring rates. And bring your lunch. And also costs for rentals as well if you need rentals. And if you're going to go, they need to know by May the 1st. And that's for Angela and Dustin will be coordinating all of that. And I will take this and post this out on the bulletin board. Are there any other announcements? Well, I was talking about greeters. Make sure you check the list and you know what days you're supposed to be here. Are there any other announcements? Thank you.
What's the age limit on this ski trip? It said youth. Are we?
Oh, yeah.
You got your board ready?
I'm going to snowboard.
Following the service this morning, there is, as usual, coffee and there are hot cross buns to celebrate this occasion. Let us now bow our heads and join together in prayer. Let us pray. Almighty Father, who through the eternal victory of your Son has brought us out of the shadow of the cross and the gloom of the garden and the night of the tomb to this glorious sunrise of everlasting life and light, fill us now with the glory of Christ's victory, so that transformed and strengthened by him, we may overcome all that separates us from you in this life. And through Christ, may we come to the life that never ends. Amen. We are going to stand and we're going to sing our Easter hymn, Christ the Lord is Risen Today. But let me tell you just beforehand that I want you to remain standing at the end of this hymn through the call to worship and through the Lord's Prayer. And after the Lord's Prayer, we will be seated. We sing to the glory of God, Christ the Lord is risen today.
Christ the Lord is risen today. Alleluia. Sons of men and angels say, Alleluia. Raise your joys and triumphs.
Our call to worship is a responsive call to worship, and you will see your part come up on the screen. Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed.
The God of our fathers raised Jesus from the dead, whom you had killed by hanging him on a tree.
God exalted him to his own right hand as Prince and Savior, that we might give repentance and forgiveness of sins.
We are witnesses to these things.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end.
We say together the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Thank you. Please be seated.
Scripture reading this morning comes from Acts 10, verses 34 to 43. All who believe in Jesus will have their sins forgiven. Then Peter began to speak. I now realize how true it is that God does not show favoritism, but accepts from every nation the one who fears him and does what is right. You know the message God sent to the people of Israel, announcing the good news of peace through Jesus Christ, who is Lord of all. You know what has happened throughout the province of Judea, beginning in Galilee, after the baptism that John preached. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and power, and how he went around doing good and healing all who were under the power of the devil, because God was with him. We are witnesses of everything he did in the country of the Jews and in Jerusalem. They killed him by hanging him on a cross, but God raised him from the dead on the third day and caused him to be seen. He was not seen by all the people, but by witnesses whom God had already chosen, by us who ate and drank with him after he rose from the dead. He commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that he is the one whom God appointed as judge of the living and the dead. All the prophets testify about him that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name.
So on this Easter Sunday, for our first piece of special music this morning, I'd like to invite Nicole and Phil to come up and present for us. And I think it's called Hallelujah. Thank you.
Did you lift his face up to the sky, said, I am coming home now, Father, to you. A need which held his final sip was gently lifted to his lips. He drank his last and gave his soul the glory.
Great, that was beautiful. I was just asking Phil who wrote that, because I wondered if he wanted to take credit for it, but he doesn't. Just for singing it. So Phil and Nikki, thank you. That was beautiful. Thank you so much. Your gifts for the work of God in this church and throughout the world will now be received. Thank you. Thank you. Gracious Lord, our Heavenly Father, we thank you for this blessed and wonderful day of Easter. We thank you, Father, for the gift that you give to us of life eternal and for every other gift that you bestow upon us. And so we come to you now, Lord, with these our gifts. They are but humble tokens of our gratitude, but we ask you, Lord, to accept these gifts and to accept the givers, for we dedicate them all to the extension of your kingdom here on earth. For Jesus' sake, amen. Thank you. We stand again and we sing to the glory of God, the hymn 227, Thine is the Glory. Stay where you are. Little ones, out to Sunday school. Thank you. As we look around our church today, it's such a nice feeling to see everybody comes home for Easter. The families all come together and our church family all come together. And what a joy and what a blessing it is to see everyone gathered here on this great and glorious day in our church calendar. The greatest day of the year. And it's a blessing to be in God's house on this blessed day. So let us now bow our heads and join together in prayer. Let us pray. Almighty God, our gracious Father and our Creator, before you who created this world and who created life itself, we bow down and we worship you on this Easter day. We thank you, Father, for this Easter light and this Easter warmth. And we thank you that these symbols of the springtime of our souls have come to us again for our blessing and for our inspiration, for our guidance and for our salvation. We come before you, Holy Lord, in humility, remembering how great and how vast you are, and again making us so conscious of how small and how insignificant we are. We are just like the dust from which we were formed. Yet, gracious Lord, you commit us, you call us, you permit us to come before your holy presence, you call us into your presence, you desire that we come and bow down before your throne of grace to worship you. And we say, O Lamb of God, we come. The whole universe seems to resound on this day with a loud Amen. When everything that our Saviour did and spoke of was made eternally true by his rising from the dead. Father in heaven, as you gave us your only Son to offer to us the precious gift of life in abundance, grant to us that your resurrection warmth may come over any cold areas of our lives, and that your resurrection light may come over all of our darkness and drive any gloom away that we may have existing in our lives. And fill us, Lord, with that radiant light of your gracious love, that we in turn may shine for you. We commit, Lord, to your loving care all of those whom you have placed upon our hearts, all of those of our church family who are in need of your holy, healing presence at this time. And we bring to you, Lord, our families, especially those from whom we are separated at this time. And so we ask you now, Lord, to hear our silent prayers, the prayers of our hearts, and for those whom you have laid upon our hearts. And we ask you, Lord, to hear our prayers and grant them your peace. We pray in silence. Fill us now, Lord, with the light of faith that glowed from that empty tomb when Christ our Lord and Saviour arose. For the light of his presence takes away the darkness from any part of our lives and leads us, Father, directly to you. We ask you, gracious Lord, to hear our prayers, for we bring them to you in the name which is high above all other names, the name of our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. Hear our prayers, Lord. Amen. I believe that we are now to be greatly inspired by a piece of music which is a duet of piano and organ by Peggy and Laurie. And I think it's Crown Him with Many Crowns. Is that right, Peg? Crown Him with Many Crowns. Thank you.
Thank you.
Ooh, my word, that was beautiful. I felt like standing up and saluting. And so we praise the Lord for these beautiful instruments and for these beautiful people who play them. Peggy and Laurie, thank you. That was beautiful. Thank you so much. It was great. I'm glad I don't have to follow that. I'd now like to invite the chairman of the congregation to come on up here and present for us the scriptures. Thank you, Bill.
That was a tough act to follow. Beautiful. Good morning and happy Easter, everyone.
Good morning.
Our gospel reading this morning comes from St. John chapter 20, verse 1 to 18, the empty tomb. Early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the entrance. So she came running to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one Jesus loved, and said, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we don't know where they have put him." So Peter and the other disciple started for the tomb. Both were running, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. He bent over and looked into the strips of linen lying there, but did not go in. Then Simon Peter, who was behind him, arrived and went into the tomb. He saw the strips of linen lying there, as well as the burial cloth that had been around Jesus' head. The cloth was folded up by itself, separate from the linen. Finally, the other disciple who had reached the tomb first also went inside. He saw and believed. They still did not understand from the scripture that Jesus had risen from the dead. Jesus appears to Mary Magdalene. Then the disciples went back to their homes, but Mary stood outside the tomb crying. As she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb and saw two angels in white seated where Jesus' body had been, one at the head and the other at the foot. They asked her, "Woman, why are you crying? They have taken my Lord away," she said, "and I don't know where they have put him." At this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not realize that it was Jesus. "Woman," he said, "why are you crying? Who is it you are looking for?" Thinking he was the gardener, she said, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have put him, and I will get him." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned toward him and cried out in Arabic, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus said, "Do not hold on to me, for I have not yet returned to the Father. Go instead to my brothers and tell them, I am returning to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." Mary Magdalene went to the disciples with their news, "I have seen the Lord." And she told them that she had said these things, that he had said these things to her. And for our epistle reading is from Colossians chapter 3, verse 1 to 4, rules for holy living. "Since then you have been raised with Christ. Set your hearts on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things, for you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you will also appear with him in glory."
Our thanks to Bill for those readings from the scriptures. Our next hymn, which is "Christ Arose," is one of my favourite Easter hymns. I love the way it kind of starts low, low in the grave he lay, and it builds up to this mighty crescendo of "Christ Arose." And so we stand and sing to his glory. "Christ Arose." hymn, good singing, sounded great from up here. Would you pray with me, please? And now may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be perfectly acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. And so we celebrate today the greatest event that the world has ever known. We celebrate today the event that changed the world. The event that is responsible for 1/3 of the population of the earth declaring themselves to be Christian. And so today we celebrate the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ from death to glorious life. And in this great event, we celebrate God's greatest gift to you and I. In Christ's resurrection, you and I have the privilege and the opportunity of gaining eternal life. Wow, what a gift. So what are we to make of all of this? The Christian faith, embraced by 1/3 of the world's population, began in obscurity. The first missionaries were a bunch of commoners whose message appeared to be nonsense to the sophisticated. With a few exceptions, Christianity's chief appeal was to the outcasts and the marginal elements of society. People like Mary Magdalene, people like this small group of uneducated fishermen. You even got a hated tax collector in there, and you've got lepers and such like. These were people with no political clout, with little or no money, outcasts who from the beginning were violently persecuted. As the sun set on the Friday of Jesus' execution, Jesus appeared to be a failure. All of his words, all of his promises about sacrifice and the kingdom of God, all now seemed to be so empty and useless. And his followers were huddled together with the doors locked for fear of the Jews. So what are we to make of this? For here we are, over 2,000 years later, brothers and sisters in Christ, declaring with faith and with great boldness the resurrection. He is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Come on.
He is risen.
That's better. What a great message. And so many, if not most of us here today, base our whole lives on this fact. It is the reason that we do not fear death. It is the reason that so many of us has put our whole trust and our whole lives into the hands of the Lord Jesus Christ. It is the reason that so many of our lives have been changed so radically and continue to change as we deny ourselves each day and take up our cross and follow Christ. It is the reason that over 2 billion people around the world are able to face many of the difficulties of life today with courage, with hope, with faithfulness, and with thanksgiving. This empty tomb is one of the main reasons that we have schools and hospitals and police forces and public amenities and, of course, churches that are available to everyone. It is Christ's resurrection that created all of these things and created the Christian church. And it was the resurrection that transformed that huddle of frightened and dispirited people into that vibrant band who were willing to risk everything and anything for the sake of Christ and his kingdom. We read the account of the resurrection from St. John's Gospel. And John's Gospel was written much later than the other three Gospels. There are those who say that John's Gospel was more like a commentary on the Gospels of the other three, of those of Matthew, Mark, and Luke. And they will tell you, Matthew, Mark, and Luke will tell you what happened, but John will tell you what it means. John tells you what it means. And so when you read John's Gospel, you can tell that it's kind of different to the others. And one of the key themes that runs through the Gospel of John is that of light and dark, lightness and darkness. If Mark says that it is dark, he means it literally, that you can't see. But when John says it is dark, he means more than physical darkness. There's something else that he's getting at. And so, in the case of Mary Magdalene, on that resurrection morning, John tells us that it was dark. It was dark. So we've got to ask the question, what was dark? Is he just talking about the fact that it was just before dawn? Or is he telling us something about Mary's mood, Mary's demeanor at that time? Because that's what he is saying. It is dark, it's just getting light, and Mary's mood is one of deep darkness. The last time we saw Mary Magdalene in John's Gospel, she was at the crucifixion. She's there at the cross with Jesus' mother. She watched Jesus die horribly, brutally, as a criminal. And we've got to remember that Mary Magdalene is not someone who is on the fringe on the outside of Jesus' followers. She is close. She is the first one at the tomb on that Easter morning. She is the first one to see Jesus after his resurrection. She is the first one that Jesus speaks to after his resurrection. And so on that resurrection morning, when Mary went to the tomb, her mood would have been one of deep darkness and depression. Mary is thinking the worst. But God had other plans. Praise the Lord. She had come looking for a dead body. She was fully expecting to find a dead body, despite everything that Jesus had told them. Mary was doing just what we frequently do. She was thinking that she knew the full story. She could see what was happening around her, and she knew the conclusion to it. This is it. It is finished. How often do we think that? We run up against things in life and we look at what's going on around us and we draw conclusions in our minds and we think we know the full story and we trust in our own understanding of a situation. And that is so very often wrong. Let me remind you of Proverbs 3 verses 5 to 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight. When you find yourself in a dark situation in life, and we all do, and some people may be in that situation right now, what do you do? Do you trust in the Lord with all your heart? Or do you lean upon your own understanding? Because that's what we all tend to do. We lean upon our own understanding. And there is Mary thinking the worst, looking for a dead body, finding an empty tomb. And again, thinking the worst. They've stolen his body. But in reality, she is about to have the experience of a lifetime. What God is going to do for her and for the whole world, words cannot describe. If the body had still been there, that would have been cause of sorrow. That would have meant, yes, all of her hopes, all of her dreams were over for sure. Aren't you glad that God did not give her what she expected, what her understanding had led her to expect? Aren't you glad that God gave her a resurrected Lord and not a dead body? Isn't that great? And could it be that when we experience our darkest hours, that we lean far too much upon our own understanding of life and life situations, when we should really trust in the Lord with all our heart? Isn't that what we should be doing? There is a beautiful valley hidden in the Swiss Alps. The locals call it the end of the world. The valley is completely surrounded by steep mountain walls. And if you enter this valley, you will move along a rough road, the only road, until it takes you right to the base of a steep wall of rock. We look at that steep wall of rock, and our own understanding would tell us that this is the end of this road. You can't go any further. However, if one is prepared to make the effort by being willing to climb and being guided by a Swiss guide, an expert guide, he can show you the path that leads you up and over that seemingly impenetrable mountain barrier of rock. And sometimes it seems that this is just what life is like. We're up against an impenetrable, impossible barrier beyond which we can see nothing. We can see no hope. We can just see a solid wall. And that must have been just how Mary Magdalene felt on that morning. Because Jesus Christ has been raised from the dead, and we have through him received the promise and the gift of eternal life, we, like Mary Magdalene, will find a way up and a way over any apparently insurmountable barrier that we come up against in life if we trust in the Lord with all of our heart and lean not upon our own understanding. The Lord Jesus said, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live, even though he dies, and whoever lives and believes in me will never die." And I like the way that Jesus ends that. He says, "Do you believe in this? Do you believe this?" We say, "Thanks be to God. Amen." We're going to close our service this morning with another great Easter hymn. We stand and we sing to God's glory. The hymn 220, "He Lives."
Savior, he's in the world today. I know that he is living, whatever men may say. I see his hand of mercy, I hear his voice of cheer, and just the time I need him, he's always near. He lives, Christ Jesus lives today. Lives today, he walks with
Great singing, great singing. Don't forget, after the service, there's coffee, there's hot cross buns, and it might be worthwhile to keep your eye open for the Easter bunnies that might be hopping around. We pray. And now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all and all whom we love this day and forevermore. Beautiful.